you, Steve. I am pretty doggone excited here, Bill.
Comedy royalty in studio with us. Jen Candy joins us right at the top of the show. Jen, just to prove how important you are, we hardly ever have guests right at the top of the show.
Never.
Unless there's someone like you.
I'm thrilled. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
It's a privilege.
Jen Candy, fine actress and improviser, performing at Second City in a 24-hour marathon show, which we will explain a lot more of in just a little bit. I told you in the green room a little while ago that you and I are related, but
yes.
I didn't tell you how.
I want to hear
explain
this.
How. Your dad, John Candy, was in a movie called Only the Lonely, one of his finest roles, I think.
Yes.
My wife, Terry, played his sister-in-law in that movie, so kind of, sort of, you and I are
related. That's a stretch, Bill.
That's a stretch.
But I'll take it.
Thank you.
I'll take
Thank
it.
You. You know what she said? She said it was her first big part in a movie, and she said she was a little nervous because she had a line here and a line there, but this was a role.
Yeah.
And she said, your dad came over on day one and introduced himself, and she said he didn't have to do that. Everyone knew who he was. And on the last day of shooting, on the wrap day, he bought everybody a very expensive bottle of champagne. Everybody on the crew, everybody in the cast.
That sounds like my dad.
Oh.
Sounds like my dad. That's
nice
who he
guy.
Was. Oh, he was great. He loved doing stuff like that. He loved everyone on set, the crew and cast and anyone who just came to visit. He treated like he was family. Everyone
really?
Was family, truly. Everyone was family.
Yeah.
Well, we all loved him, definitely. I keep thinking of Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Yes.
That is an awesome one.
Especially around the holidays this time. It's the perfect movie. My brother and I just went to go see it in Santa Monica on Thursday night at the it was the 30th anniversary of Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. And it's the theater, it's the Aero Theater in Santa Monica, and it's the theater my dad used to take my brother and I to all the time and see movies. So it almost went out of business, and then someone came in and swooped up and bought it, which is great. It's this great little tiny theater that, you know, they show old films.
Yeah, how much did you cry, you and your brother?
Do you know what? We didn't this time, or I was fighting back the tears at some point, but I cry. I go in it off and on crying with that movie. There's some times where I'm like, no, I'm good. There's people around.
Right.
And there's other times where I'm like, oh my God, this is so... I just, you know, it's like probably was crying to the theater, and then all the tears came out, and then I didn't cry during the movie, but then afterwards I was like, that was really good. I'm sitting with my brother. This is so nice. And, you know, it was great.
Don't you think that was one of his roles that showed his range?
Yes.
Right?
Oh,
there was
definitely.
A couple movies that really showed he was much more than just the John Candy that we first thought he was. He
right.
was a lot more.
Yeah. You always knew he kind of was that. Well, he was so many different characters. He was the lovable character. He was the Johnny LaRue. He was the Johnny Toronto. He was, you know, he kind of, hey. But then
Stan Schmangy.
The Stan Schmangy, the not so bright, you know. As
Paul Fist in your face. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
Did you ever see him do that?
Yes.
On the first season of SCTV, he had this character, this rambunctious guy.
Yep.
Paul, and I thought, this is just so funny.
Did you get a guy with a snake on his face? You know, Harry.
Harry.
Harry with the guy with a snake on his face. All his characters are all a little part of my dad.
Is that true?
So it's, you know, that those ideas and thoughts come from some sort of, you know, character deep inside. But it's so funny. But yeah, I love all his movies. But Trains, Planes, and Automobiles, it shows the softer side. Like, so many people cry in that movie. I cry in that movie. My mom, like, we all cry in that movie because it's just, and it's not even like the scene itself when I, like, everyone's like, oh my God, that last scene, I'm crying for like hours. And I'm like, well, it truly is only less than a minute.
I know.
And it's that moment, and he just gets it. And I remember talking, we were talking when John Hughes was around, and we were good friends with him and his family, and he would say that scene with my dad, they did one take where he was sobbing, and it just didn't quite work. And so then it was afterwards.
Oh.
And so it's trying to find, and it's also all in the eye of the director and the editing and the actor. It's a team, you know, collaboration, and they worked together so well.
Whenever there's somebody who's considered a comic genius, and your dad is considered a comic genius, people always go, well, is he always like that? And I know it's not fair because it's a personal thing, but when he wasn't on screen, when he wasn't on television or on a film screen, what was he like that then?
You know what? He was the same. Like, he was, but he also was just your average dad. Like, he, you know, he came to science fair projects and he helped me with my homework and my brother with our homework. He always tried to make it for birthdays when he was, you know, on work at locations and stuff like that. So he was himself, and he was always funny, and he was always trying to, you know, make practical jokes and have a good time and dance, and it was fun. And but then he was also stern. It's like if we messed up, it's like, you knew, it's like the stern voice came out. You're like, I'm so sorry, please don't yell. But that's every dad and every parent that has to have some sort of, you know, they have to be a parent at the same time. They weren't just going to let their kids run willy-nilly. Of course. You know, it's like we're on set, we had to behave on set. There was an etiquette. We had to, like, represent, you know, the family. And so we weren't just the kids that were, like, screaming on set when they're rolling. It's like,
do you know when he made me cry? And it doesn't make sense, but he used to do this killer impression of Orson Welles.
Oh,
and
my
one
gosh.
Time, is you've seen it,
the,
right?
Well, the Christmas special with Orson Welles and Dave Thomas's Liberace.
Right. Yes. Isn't it hysterical?
Yeah.
Well, there's this time where he's explaining the beginning of The Honeymooners, and he just points out as Orson Welles, look, you can see Gleason's face in the moon. And it's just such a ridiculous thing, but it's so funny.
Yeah, it hits home to so many people. Yeah. There's something about it that just, you know, his Orson Welles was spot on. I remember showing it to my husband for the first time, and he was like, the Christmas special. And to this day, he's like, no, your dad as Orson Welles is probably my favorite part of just that holiday special. It's just, it's uncanny.
Yeah. When you decided at some point maybe this is a field you wanted to explore, and I know your brother is also an actor and a musician.
Yes.
Your dad's reaction was what?
I think he didn't want us to go into the business. He's like, do anything and everything you want to do other than acting. I wanted to be a veterinarian, a marine biologist. He was like, go pursue that. I think he wanted us to figure it out for ourselves as opposed to force us into something that we didn't know if we really wanted to do. Like, I enjoyed plays when I was in grade school and high school, but I wasn't the kid that, like, was putting on shows for everyone. I knew friends that loved to do that. And for me, I was like, really? This is what you want to do? Like, you want to entertain for everyone? Now, I like to entertain, but I think it was just in a different way, and I had to figure out how I wanted to do that myself. And so my dad would put us in, like, little walk-on roles of movies. I got cut out of every single one of them. Cut out of Trains, Planes, and Automobiles. I've got all the footage and photos, but I never made it. I was like, was I that bad of an actor even as a kid? But no, I think it was just him to be kind of like, no, this is what it's like, and you have to put in the work. I remember I did voices for Camp Candy when it was on. And I remember he was like really strict with me with the character voice and the character choice of going in, and we were reading the script together in my bedroom, and I started doing an accent because the character is kind of Valley Girl, and he's like, don't do the accent.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, but the character she talks like a Valley Girl. And he was like, don't do that. And I was like, okay. So I went in, and and then Jenny McSwain, who was the director at the time, she's like, try it with an accent. And I remember looking at my dad going, suggestion earlier? And he kind of like rolled his eyes. He's like, oh dear. He knew he was in trouble at that point.
Jen, though, there's got to be a little added pressure because your dad was who your dad was. It makes it a little harder on you, right, to follow in those footsteps.
Of course. And I think I learned, and my brother learned at a very young age early on in our career, that we are never going to replicate and or fill in those shoes just because they're you can't. It's not possible. You have to strive for what you want in your career and in your life. I love to do the stuff that my dad did. Like, I love to make people laugh. I love making films that make people feel good. But I don't have the dream to own a football team. I don't, you know, it's like certain things like that. I'm like, I'm okay. I'll go to football games, but I love the Argos, the Toronto Argonauts, but I don't need to own them. So he had these dreams and ambitions that were just sometimes, it was impressive for me. So it's something that I strive for, but it's not something that I want to compete with.
Yeah.
It's a good goal. And it's a good kind of like, oh, it's possible that anyone can do anything. But at the same time, it's like, no, that was his path. That's not my path. That's not my brother's path. That's not anyone else's path. That people like, I loved your dad so much. I want to be just like him. I'm like, that's great. And that's I admire that. But try and look at your own career and what you want to do and take from that and then just take a spin on it, because you can never replicate that, because he was his own unique identity. And I think that was the good thing about him.
There's an article written up last October in The Hollywood Reporter,
Ryan
of you
Parker.
And your brother.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I was telling Bill off the air, you guys don't look alike, but yet you both look like your dad.
I know. It's weird. My brother looks like my dad when he was younger. And then I look like my dad, like every other from college on. But it's weird when people are also like, I don't see your mom in you guys either. And then you look at my mom and then they're like, oh, no, you're exactly we're just a weird. I think my husband also said, when I smile, I'm my dad. But I don't have my dad's eyes. But then my brother has my dad's eyes, but not the smile. So it's like a so we're that game that you mix every the faces and the lips and the nose together. And then if you were to take every part of our face, then you would get our dad.
That's not hard to do.
No, it's not hard to do at all.
And it's fun.
No, it's fun.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a fun game, guys. Come on, we'll turn it into an app.
Jen Candy's here. She's performing at this big 24-hour Second City marathon. We'll explain more about this when we come back. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
All right. Jen Candy is here. Are you still doing Couch Candy?
I am doing Couch Candy. At Second City in Hollywood, I produce with my friend Holly Wartell, who's Second City alum and also a teacher. She's fabulous.
She was always on Bonnie Hunt's show.
Yes. So she was there. And then so we just ended in October. We'll come back in March 8th. That's in L.A. But I'm also going to do mini versions of it here at the 24-hour. We're going to see how that's going to go. My show's normally 45 minutes. I'm going to cram it down to 10.
Explain this 24-hour improv and music marathon going on.
We're going to have improvisers for 24 hours just playing and having a good time. And, you know, all the benefits go to Onward Neighborhood House, which is a great, they're on Christmas Day, they go door to door and surprise all these families with all the money that and gifts for the kids, and they letters to Santa type thing, which is fabulous. And the 24-hour, it'll make you feel better.
It will. The money's going to a very, very
to a great cause. It's the 16-year-old, you know, it's 16 years, so it's its birthday. 16. Started by Heather Winna, who is fabulous. She's such a sweetheart. She's been with Second City forever. Uh-huh. She now works in alumni relations. She was a state house manager when I was working there in the box office way, way back in the day. And I haven't been to a 24-hour since I was working.
Really?
So 16 years. It's 2001. And I was living here in 2004, 2005. Yeah. So I remember experiencing it for the first time and being like, this is insane.
Have you napped? Are you going to be ready to pull this off?
I'm up now and then I'll probably crash and then I'll do a caffeine push around.
But you're not in this once or twice. You're in this at odd intervals.
In intervals throughout space it out. It's going to be improvisers, little mini couch candies. We're going to have musicians. Jeff Tweedy from Wilco is going to be there. It's going to be great. And it's just kind of something fun and exciting and delirious and
everything.
Sleep-deprived.
One of the times you're improvising with Katie Rich, who's a writer for Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
Another time, Tim Kazurinsky from Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
Who have you not improvised with that if given the choice, you'd go, I've got to get on stage with him or her? Who is it?
Gosh, I've been so fortunate with this show to kind of interview and talk with so many people. Tim Kazurinsky is one that I've been, because he's been here, and I do the show out in L.A., and I'm like, okay, I'm nabbing you for the first 10 minutes, and then you're coming to L.A., or I'm going to come to Chicago again, and we're going to do the full 45, because I have video clips and family photos that I kind of intertwine in between the show and throughout, and it's great. And so I think I want to say Tim Kazurinsky, so I'm kind of nabbing that right now. Dan Aykroyd is one that I our paths have been missing. So he wants to do it, but we've just been, playing.
Yeah.
We've been missing each other.
But
it's been fun. Exactly. it's exactly video tag.
I hope you're not upset about this, but you revealed to Wendy and I during the break who your brother-in-law is.
Go for it.
This is so cool. Chris Sullivan from This Is Us, who plays Toby. We were talking about him last week because he was the cast of the show was named the sexiest men on television, but somehow they left Chris out of all the pictures and the promos, which was very upsetting to me.
I said he wasn't a Pearson.
Right. That was Wendy's
excuse. I think that's
what
it is. I think they're going based off of the family, but they're not officially, because he's not, unless he takes Kate's name.
Oh, maybe.
If it goes that way.
Then they'll call him back in.
Modern day Toby Pearson.
Right.
He seems like the guy who would
do that.
That
would be nice.
I thought it was so nice because he's not the conventional movie star handsome, but I go, because of his sense of humor, they let him in. Wait, he's not in any of the pictures.
Girls like funny guys.
They do. Girls love it. That's, I think, funniness and a sense of humor kind of goes overlooked.
And sensitive and caring. He's kind of perfect.
Yeah. Yeah.
He is.
And nothing like that in real life, right?
Nothing at all. No.
Really?
No, he is. No, he's such a sweetheart. He's been one of my good friends since college. So.
Yeah. Has this been what you thought it would be? I mean, you watch what your dad went through, the trials and tribulations of getting to where he was, and then you followed a similar path. Is it what you thought it would be, or is it different?
Do you know what? It's pretty much what I thought it would be. It would be a lot of hard work and a lot of fun at the same time. And it's sometimes challenging because my dad isn't here, and so you kind of are like, "Oh, the name gets you so far." But then again, you know, I can do this, and my brother can do this, and it's fine. We're having fun.
Good,
you know,
good
fun along the way, and I haven't given up yet.
No,
so that's
don't
a
give
good.
Up.
And I'm not going to give up.
No, you shouldn't. I just have to say one more thing about SCTV. I've mentioned this on the show several times. Not only was it funny then, but a lot of times comedy doesn't hold up. Time just comes through it. And like Ronan Martin's laughing, as funny as it was in the 60s, I watch it now and it's just not the same. SCTV, somehow they figured out a way to make it still funny.
It's still great.
What do you think? Why?
I don't know what it would. That group of characters and those actors are timeless.
Yeah.
And their impressions are so spot on. And I think that era and the people that they were impersonating and themselves are timeless. It resonates with everything. And it's not so, you can still watch it and still feel connected to it, as opposed to some bits and some things that people do nowadays. It's so particular for some reason. Maybe we just don't remember it. So then we're like, oh, okay, well, let's forget it. But those are the times where it kind of brings us back to that place of where a lot of us were kids and we kind of remember the simpler times and going, oh, this is funny. And this is, you know, it was just good.
Yeah.
It was just good.
It was good. And good holds up. I think
and
that's what it is.
And good holds up. And good and funny holds up. And I think it just... And it also was sensitive. It's like Johnny LaRue and his crane shot. It's like that Christmas
special.
All
he wanted for Christmas.
All he wanted for Christmas was that crane shot. So it was just like, and it tugs on people's heartstrings. And I like hearing when people talk about how they show their kids, you know, SCTV and then my dad's films and kind of like keeping that generation aware. Because it, you know, not a lot of people of the younger generation know who my dad is, which is fine, and that I completely get it. But it is sometimes when I'm, you know, introduced to people and they're like, oh my gosh, do you know who this? And they're like, John Candy. And they're like, who is he? Is he coming out in a film soon? I was like, oh, I have to now be the one to tell you. But it's fine, you know, it's all, but if nothing else, I'd like to continue, you know, spreading the word. And that's also, you know, what I'm doing is just my own stuff. But at the same, we are a family that is very, we like to make people feel good and laugh. And so if nothing else, I say with my show, if someone comes out of that show, just even one person saying I've learned something new or that makes me feel good, I'm happy.
Success.
I don't have to please everyone. I just want to please that one person that like made their day. And that for me is like what makes
beautiful.
It. And I'm like, I'm great. Done. Okay. Perfect.
That's a good way to do it. Perfect. Actually.
Yep. Your dad would be very proud of you, Jen.
Thank you so much.
He really would. It's Jen Candy, everybody. Go see her. A big Second City 24-hour marathon. It's called 24 Hours. It'll make you feel better. Wendy?
It's only $20.
$20. Cash at the door. Can't get advance tickets. Once you get in, you have a seat. And as long as seats are available, they'll keep letting people in. You can come in. You can come out. There's going to be great comedians tonight. Jack McBrayer, Brad Morris, Matt Walsh, you know, Kate Rich. So just come check it out. Music.
Excellent.
Around 3 a.m., though. That'll be fun. So come check that one out.
And you can donate online to Onward House at SecondCity.com.
SecondCity.com.
So great to meet you.
Nice to meet you, too,
Take
guys.
Care, Jen.
Thank
really
you
appreciate
so
it.
Thank you.
A quick break, some news, and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.